What is up and welcome to the Red and Bold Show. I am one of your favorite hosts, Mark Adams of 49ers Camelot, and I'm joined by your other favorite host, Anthony Robertson of 49ers Cutback. What's up, Ant? How's it going?
It's going well. Anytime that you can talk 49ers is going to be a good day. And the NFL pulled a little thing on us and kind of moved the schedule. Fox was rumoring it was coming out tomorrow. Now it's coming out next week. That means a little bit more time to evaluate the roster, look at the 49ers roster inside and out, and then eventually get to the schedule, which I know everyone is itching to do. And we might actually next week, Mark, have a few games that we know about. They sort of release some of those primetime games throughout the day. The full release comes at 8 p.m. Pacific time, or Eastern time, I'm sorry. And so it'll be available for us. I get a little mixed up sometimes with the time zones. It gets a little confusing, but it's an exciting time, and 49ers are getting ready to start rookie minicamp as well.
Yeah, they report tomorrow, probably go through their interviews, and then I'm guessing on Friday do their practice. So it's going to be a fun weekend to hear some things that are going on from the rookies. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today is the different rookies. And so we've already have some people in here. Josh is in here. Let's see. Kylie's in here. She said actually made it here on time. So that's good. Joel's in the chat. David's in the chat. So thanks for everybody for hopping in here and joining us. We're going to jump right in. So let's talk 2024 rookies. Which one do you think will start first?
I think this one is interesting because you kind of look at the positions the 49ers have the most need in. And I think right away, we've talked a lot about the fact that nickel corner is a position of need. How quickly will he transition, I think, is the question. I think a lot of people think maybe he's a plug and play day one guy. I think skill wise, he has it. I wonder if overall picking up the system, he's going to be able to do it in Renardo Green, because I worry about him being able to understand where he's supposed to be when it comes to run fits. Now, we saw Sam Womack develop in training camp enough that he started his rookie season at nickel corner. So that gives you a little bit of optimism. The problem was Sam Womack wasn't good enough in run fits. At 2 weeks into the season, he's out, and D'Amore Lenore's in, who was in his sophomore season. So you wonder how quickly Renardo Green's going to acclimate, but you see a natural avenue there for him to be able to start. I still believe that early on, he's probably going to be a backup. They're probably going to go with Lenore and nickel situations with Isaac Yedem playing outside. So I think actually, and this is kind of just because I don't know the health of what we're going to get out of Talanoa Fonga, I'm going to say Malik Mustafa, and that might be a little outlier, but I don't know the health of Talanoa Fonga. I think he's going to be capable. I think him and Jair Brown are going to start, but I see an avenue there as well for Malik Mustafa. So Renardo Green, Malik Mustafa seem to me the most logical. Part of the reason there's less resistance there as far as position. So if I had to put an overall bet on it, I'm going to go with Renardo Green, but I see an avenue for Malik Mustafa.
Yeah, I'm going the exact same way. I think that Renardo Green is the most likely, but like you said, I do agree that they probably start Isaac Yedem at the beginning of the season. You mentioned it, I think a couple of weeks ago, that by the end of the season or maybe midway through the season that you think that Green might start, getting snaps over Yedem. But like you said, the big question mark is going to be Talanoa Hufanga. If he is ready to go week one, then I'm sticking with Green. If he's not, then Malik Mustafa might be the guy. A lot of people like him. So I think the 49ers probably like him a lot and see some characteristics in him that they really like. And so I'm right on board with you. Mr. Corey said, Mustafa. Josh said Green starts first, maybe a week one starter. And certainly that's possible. We'll just have to see how they do. I just know that for this coaching staff, and this is kind of the point that you're making with Isaac Yedem, this coaching staff prefers vets over rookies, especially early in the season. So it's going to be hard for Green to be a week one starter, I think.
Yeah, and Brandon Staley knows Isaac Yetem. He was linebacker coach in Denver. He's aware of who Yetem is, but they brought him in here because his skill set fits very much what the 49ers like to do on the outside. He's got length. He's got the ability to run. He's got closing speed. Those all play into an account of him being ready. And he's a guy who started 8 games last year. You talked about veteran, but not just veteran, but guys who have logged a lot of snaps in the league. How quickly he transitions to the 49ers defense will be the question. But he's a better version of Ambry Thomas, who they already went with. If you want to just go with comfortable, you want to go with guys who can do it, who you already know can do it, then you're going to go with Yetem and Deamara Lenore, because you have no questions about Lenore playing nickel. If Yetem answers the outside questions, you have no questions about your secondary. If there is a look at upside, though, Renardo Green gives you that, because you talk about position versatility, being able to play those three guys, Charvarius Ward, Renardo Green, and Deamara Lenore, means if you want one of them to go in the nickel and one of them to flip outside, you definitely have the ability to do that. So I think eventually that's the target and where they want to go. It's going to be fun in training camp. I'm hoping Renardo Green comes out there and steps up and pushes it, because if your rookie could start day one, why not?
Yeah. Josh asked, Rocky Sin have a chance at nickel?
I think Rocky Sin has a chance to make this roster. I think you look at him, he's a former second round pick and he's been around the league a little bit, but he's a competitor and he works really hard. The question marks are less about his play and more about his injury concerns. If he's fully healthy — he wasn't last year with Baltimore — but if he's fully healthy, then he is a player that can play both inside and outside. And he's a bigger corner, a more physical corner. That's what the 49ers are wanting, to play the nickel position. So I think Rocky Sin is a guy that has the ability. In fact, when I did my cornerback depth chart, I actually put him in there as number 5, because I do believe right now that's where he would enter the room. There's going to be question marks if he can hold off Darrell Luter Jr. or some of the other young guys. But if Rocky Sin's right, he is a guy that can help you in the run game and has versatility to play inside and out.
Yeah, and if your name is Rock, you need to play on defense. That's just the rule. It has to go that way. So we talked about which rookie might start first. How about which draftee has the hardest climb to make the roster?
I think it's going to start with, you know, the guys at the end. I think when you're looking at some of the guys, you know, at the back end, I think Jarrett Kingston probably has the toughest opportunity to make this team because of the depth on the offensive line. And he's a guy that's changing positions from what he did in college. And I know he had some guard snaps as well, but going from playing tackle at USC to moving inside, there's always a transition. But there's just a lot of players like him. Ben Bartsch, Nick Zakel, who have been in the system now. Zakel 2 years, Bartsch a year. Then they also drafted in the 3rd round Dominic Puni, which means another guy with position versatility. I think it's just going to be tough to make this roster. Banks, you got Feliciano, you got Burford. All those guys have been in the system. So I would say Jarrett Kingston's probably got the toughest road to make this roster. Athleticism-wise, physically, he's got all the gifts in the world. As far as being able to actually do it, I think is another question. So I think he's more likely to end up on the 49ers practice squad as a developmental player than he is to actually make this 53-man roster.
Yeah, I think that I would probably agree. Josh said Bethune has a rough road. I mean, a 7th rounder, it's always tough for those guys. But to me, I think that Kingston was the one that I was the least pleased with as far as a draft pick. I mean, but really late in the round, you're kind of taking flyers. You're not really taking people that — I mean, when they drafted Brock Purdy, I had heard of him. Most of the time when they draft somebody in the 7th round or even in the 6th round, I haven't heard of them. And so for me, I just don't put a whole lot of stock into I think the Kingston or Bethune have a chance or don't have a chance, because I just don't know. They're drafted that late for a reason. And on a stacked team like this, the road is hard for those guys.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Bethune, the one thing that's going to be interesting is more than likely Dre Greenlaw is going to start on the PUP list. And if he's starting the season on the PUP list, it might create an opportunity for one of the linebackers that are towards the end of this roster. The question will be, which one? Will it be Ezekiel Turner because you want special teams prowess now that Oren Burks is gone? Or are you going to want a guy like Curtis Robinson who has the ability to play Mike as well? And how much have your other guys developed? D. Winters and Jalen Graham, both those guys, 6th and 7th round picks last year. When it comes to linebacker, maybe more than any position on the 49ers, it doesn't matter where you're drafted, because we've seen Dre Greenlaw, 5th round. He's developed into something that's been really good. Azeez Al-Shaair was undrafted, and he's become a player in this league. They develop players. Even Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles has developed from what he came into the league as coming out of Arizona, a safety there. So they just know how to do it. Johnny Hollins develops linebackers at a high level. So I think when you look at linebackers using late round picks, those guys always have a shot. It is an uphill climb for those guys, Kingston and Bethune, to have a chance to make this roster because it is so talented. But I think Bethune might have a little bit of a chance because of the fact that Dre Greenlaw might start on PUP.
It's interesting that you said the 49ers do a good job of giving people chances and actually teaching those guys, because there was a receiver late last week, Willie Snead the 4th, who said the 49ers didn't give him, well, he didn't name the 49ers, but he mentioned that the past 3 years were frustrating because he didn't give the chance because things were unfair or whatever. He played for the Panthers. Who was the other team? And then the 49ers. So he played for three Steelers. Teams. Was it the Steelers? I don't remember. Two of them in one season, and then the 49ers each of the next two seasons. So you're saying that you disagree with Willie Snead, that because that was my response, was, hey, maybe he's just not good enough, because he's not better than Debo. He's not better than Ayuk. He's not better than Juwan Jennings. He's not better than Chris Conley. I don't know if he's even better than Ronnie Bell. And yet here we are talking about it. Did you see that comment?
I did. And I actually seen him respond to you, thanking you for saying you're still going to root for him. So bravo to you for putting the guy in his place and then still getting a thank you comment along the way. That's really well done. But yeah, when it came to Willie Snead, you know, it's interesting. The 49ers have often been thought as a meritocracy, and just listening to the way Kyle Shanahan talked about Cameron Latu, like, he hasn't even been on the field. If he would have said, oh yeah, he's tied in too, we drafted him in the 3rd round, that's entitlement. I don't think there's entitlement with the 49ers. I do think sometimes when it comes to late round guys that they don't want to lose rookies, young players like Danny Gray, Ronnie Bell, then yes, they decide, hey, maybe Willie Snead is better than them, more equipped, but we don't want to lose this guy. So they make the decision. I think when it's close like that, it's not so much that it's an entitlement, but it's a shrewd business move. It's a football move. I'm betting on the upside of Ronnie Bell compared to what I already know the 10-year vet Willie Snead is. And I think that's exactly what they did. But yeah, there's no entitlement. You're definitely not better than the top 3 guys for sure. You weren't better than Ray McCloud. And, you know, Chris Conley beat you out for that last roster spot. So to me, it didn't really hit. I get it. He's upset. Trent Taylor now took his job. But, you know, this is how the NFL goes. And you got to land somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I wrote an article on this, but I don't remember the stats, but I think it was something like last season they targeted him like 4 times and he had 2 catches for the whole season or something like that. Maybe it wasn't even that much. So yeah, I think it's hard to point the fingers at the coaching staff or whatever. Especially when you have a quarterback like Brock Purdy, he's shown himself. I mean, we saw Colin Kaepernick miss open receivers, like didn't see them. We saw Jimmy Garoppolo do the same thing. Brock Purdy doesn't really do that. If you get open, he's going to find you. And so I don't want to keep bashing on Willie. I didn't like the entitlement comment. That frustrated me, and that's why I made a comment. But definitely don't blame the guy for being frustrated, and I do wish him well. So, or let's talk undrafted free agent. So which of the undrafted rookies do you think has the best shot at making the 53-man roster?
Yeah, this one's interesting because, I mean, just looking at it from the outside, I I don't actually think any of them have a really good shot of making it. But I did land on the guy that I think would probably have the best shot, and that is Cody Schrader. And it has to be injury reason. So you start looking at depth. We talked about offensive line. Even though I like Nugent a lot, the center, there's just so many guys ahead of him. How are you going to overtake all those guys and make the roster? With Schrader, he's one injury away from potentially being on the roster. Niners like to cover or carry four, and then Kyle Juszczyk at fullback. So you're one guy away. We know Elijah Mitchell has gotten banged up before. Even Jordan Mason's been able to play through it. But when you're a running back and you take reps, there's always a chance you get hurt in training camp. So I think because of that reason, he's got a good shot to make the team. And he's the only other guy I think does, because I just don't see any of the other guys. Maybe you could go to some of the other guys on the roster that are on the potential practice squad roster that are UDFAs, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for those guys. Let's see. I see that Leon said, I think the entitlement comment was about Owens making the 90 man. Yeah, that's possible. I don't know. But speaking of Owens, I think he's going to have, a tough road to hoe. I mean, even with a Hall of Fame dad, he still has to stand on his own. Looking to see, I think that I saw a comment. I've seen a couple of them that are saying Drake Nugent has a chance. You mentioned him last week as being one that you were higher on. I do like that call by the 49ers 2024. Would that be, I mean, other than the running back, do you think that that might be a good call?
Yeah, I think the player I like, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of starts in college. He's a talented guy, undersized center. He's going to have experience when it comes to playing the position. I think his difficulty is, number one, how many reps is he actually going to get with all the guys that he has ahead of him? I mean, potentially Ben Bartsch is going to get center snaps. Corey Luciano, they have as a holdover from last year. He knows this offense. He's going to get center snaps. And then Drake Nugent. So those guys are all behind Jake Brendel. I don't know how many actual reps he's going to get to prove how good he is, but I think that's his problem, is the fact that there's so many guys that are potentially ahead of him that have versatility to play guard and center. I think if, you know, Luciano wasn't there and Bartsch wasn't there and Zakel wasn't there, then yeah, we could talk about him being a potential backup. I just think you're going to have Chris Forster loving the fact that he likes guys with versatility and there's going to be guys ahead. It's an up road for a young center. I like Nugent. I hope he plays really well. I think he's got a possibility to replace Luciano on the practice squad, but I don't think he's going to legitimately make this team. I would love for him to shock everyone and do it, but I just don't see it.
Kenny said, Kyle hates us. Well, I hope not. They have let us down a few times, but hopefully he doesn't hate us. I doubt that he does. Let me ask you this. I was on my way here. I was listening to Larry Kruger and I think it was Grant Cohn. I think that was the two that I was listening to. And Kruger said this. He said that he expects Jacob Cowling to be better than, Ricky Pearsall. He said that he expects Schroeder to be better than Isaac Garrido. Interesting take, and I don't know if he's kind of going off maybe some past where the 49ers have drafted higher and the guy they took lower at the same position ended up better. You know, when you look at Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell, players like that, or in 2017 when they took the running back in the fourth round and then ended up having an undrafted rookie take his place. So there have been situations where that's happened, but what do you think about that? Cowling versus Pearsall and Schroeder versus Guerrero. What do you agree with Larry, or do you think, nah, I think the guy that was taken higher is going to be better?
Well, there are those instances that happens, and you can definitely point to those where, you know, you got Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell, like, but there's also other cases where it's different. Aaron Banks was drafted ahead of Jalen Moore. Aaron Banks is better. You look at Spencer Burford, Nick Zakel, Spencer Burford's better. There's plenty of opportunities like Debo and Richie James taken in the same draft, yet Debo Samuel is far superior to Richie James or Jalen Hurd. So there's situations that go either way. I think Schrader is one of those guys that when you look at him, you see that he was such an impactful running back in the SEC. So normally you take that into account. The thing that's going to hurt Schrader a little bit is, number one, you just don't get a lot of opportunities, you know, to show your stuff because of the guys ahead of you. And they have a few guys ahead of him, but I think he's very talented. I don't know about the speed element. He only runs a 4.6. Now that can be overcome. He has great vision. He has pretty good balance when it comes to contact balance. I like that about him. But I don't think that Cowing is going to be better than Pearsall. I think Pearsall is going to be the better player, but I think they're both good players. And I think it's closer than probably people think because of the way that they're going to be used. But I think this is kind of one of those things now that it happens all the time. People start trying to find the late round guys who are going to be better than the early round picks. And, you know, it's a fun process, but people were very high on Spencer Wagee last year. You know who got cut today? Spencer Wagee. Yep. So I think this happens all the time. I think I always take a wait and see approach, because when we get to training camp, that's where we're going to see actual reps and how these guys look. It's not going to be about Pac-12. It's not going to be about SEC or Big Ten. None of that matters anymore. Now it's NFL football. And what happens when Jacob Cowing is locked up by D'Amore Lenore or Renardo Green or one of those guys who's able to be physical and run with him? It might change the way you visualize him compared to a Ricky Pearsall. I'm rooting for both of them. I think Pearsall is the superior player right now. Would I hate it if both guys ended up being great? Absolutely not. But I think that's a little bit of a stretch right now. I just don't think there's enough in the film that says, hey, those are the case. This guy's going to be better than that guy.
Yeah. And I think that we're about to see, probably on Friday over the weekend, we're going to see the fan base lose their mind, because you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago that in rookie minicamp, those kinds of places where you can't get physical, the guys like Cowling is going to go off, you know, when he can run free and catch the ball. These early practices really benefit offense, especially the skill players like receivers. And so we're going to see him catch a lot of balls, and he's going to look really good, and everybody's going to get excited and think that he's Jerry Rice. I think you mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. On the undrafted thing, Mr. Corey said, I hope Evan Anderson makes the team. He is, Kenny calls him a mountain. He is a mountain. That dude is monstrous. And so we hit on him a little bit last week. It's going to be hard to see what he – I just think those undrafted guys have such a hard road ahead of them. But – we've seen it before. If you can play, you can play, whether you were taken or not. And this guy should be able to occupy blockers as big as he is, right?
Yeah, the first thing he's going to have to do is learn how to play low. So if you go to training camp, you know what you're going to see him doing all day is the same thing Javon Kinlaw did, same thing Darion Daniels did. It's just firing off and hitting the bag low, because he's got to bring his pad level down. Even though he's 6 foot, he plays a little bit taller than he should. And in the NFL, when you're 6 foot, you should be playing a lot lower, because these guys, if they get underneath you, they're going to put you on the ground. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how he develops. I do think he's a developmental guy. There's enough to like about him that you want to bring him in and potentially keep him on the practice squad. That's why they let go a guy like Spencer Wagee. They're preparing for other defensive tackles. But Kalia Davis's first step is a lot better than what you're going to get from Evan Anderson. I know they're different players, but the 49ers really appreciate penetration when it comes to defensive linemen, being able to get down the line in the zone scheme, being able to get in the backfield. And I'm not sure we got that from Evan Anderson. I think he's a lot more developmental than people think. They look at his size and they're like, oh, we need this guy. But he's not Hassan Ridgeway. He's got a long ways to go to be close to that type of player. So I think there's going to be a lot of development that goes there. And I think it's more likely he ends up on the practice squad.
So Stream Elements says it's time. Go get yourself some sweet Cutback Crew merch using this link. So there is a link in the comments that you can go support Ant and the 49ers Cutback group. So make sure that you go do that. Okay, so I want to segue to wide receivers and the 49ers 2024 said I see Shanahan running a 4 to 5 wide receiver sets. Knowing that Debo and Ayuk can't get separation. I didn't know that Ayuk couldn't get separation. He runs great routes and I feel like he does a really good job getting open. I agree with about Debo. He can't get open. He's not. And I saw a thing today that listed the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL and Debo was number 10. And I kind of was surprised by that. I think he might be one of the top 10 weapons, but as far as wide receiver, I'm not sure. Ayuk definitely belongs in there, but do you agree with that, that Ayuk can't get separation? Because I think that he is pretty effective at it.
Yeah, Ayuk gets separation at a high level. I mean, the guy's able to generate separation with great route running. He also uses his body really good. He's one of those guys that's a pretty elite route runner in this league. And so, no, he's not a separation problem guy. Debo is more of a guy that struggles at times to create separation when he deals with a player that's physical enough to handle his physicality. If Debo's going against a smaller corner, Debo's going to win with physicality. That's what he does. But when you're talking about Debo, he was never meant to be a top 10 wide receiver. He's not even being paid to be a top 10 wide receiver. He's being paid to be a top 10 playmaker. That's what he does. When the ball's in his hands, he's different than everyone else in this league. And that's exactly what you're getting out of him. So they do have one wide receiver in Brandon Ayuk that can consistently create separation on his own. The problem is sometimes the other guys struggle a little bit if the other team is capable of going man coverage and getting on Debo and getting on Juwan Jennings, who are bigger receivers who aren't as quick out of their break. Those types of things are definitely, you know, struggles, especially if a defense is allowed to get hands on them. We saw this with Michael Crabtree years ago. If you're playing Seattle and they're allowed to get hands on you, Michael Crabtree is not going to be that good. If he's a guy that, you know, you're playing a team and they're not allowed to touch, then Crabtree's pretty good. He gets some separation using his physicality and he gets some catches. So this is one of those things that happens. Now, I think Debo's far superior to, you know, Crabtree in almost every single dynamic. But that's the kind of way this team is built, with playmakers and guys who can create separation. That's why they went and got Ricky Pearsall, to get another guy they felt, and Jacob Cowan, guys they felt could create separation to add to the room they already have with guys that have to do with physicality and Kyle Shanahan kind of scheming it up a little bit.
Yeah. So on that, is the current 49ers wide receiver corps, is this the best collection of wide receivers that Kyle Shanahan has had in his time with the 49ers? I mean, obviously, I'm not asking, is this the best wide receiver corps in 49ers history? Because you go back to Dwight Clark, Jerry Rice, Freddie Solomon, and then later Jerry Rice, John Taylor, Ed McCaffrey, and then later Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens, J.J. Stokes. So they've had some elite wide receiver groups over the years. Where do you think this one lies? Is this the best that Kyle has had since he was with the 49ers?
I think you would have to start leaning that direction. I think the question is, how good is Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowan going to be early? If they're going to be better, you know, if Ricky Pearsall is going to be better early than Ray-Ray McCloud, I think, yes, you have to say that, because the 49ers have never quite put together a wide receiver room that had four that were just really, really good. I think McCloud added some aspects, but I think Pearsall has the most ability to create in ways that we haven't seen from a fourth wide receiver. So I think this is the most stacked group that they've had, but Pearsall has to go prove it on the field. Ray-Ray was a proven commodity. We knew what he could do. Did he always do it? No. Was there always opportunities for him to do it? No. So we'll see where Pearsall's at. But when you throw in him, Cowing, and then I know a lot of people, you know, kind of have already started putting, you know, a little bit of distance between those guys and like Danny Gray and Ronnie Bell and Chris Conley. But when you're looking at depth, Danny Gray still got elite speed. Ronnie Bell was still able to make some plays in his rookie season. And Chris Conley was showing up in the Super Bowl and not just making big blocks, but key catches as well. You have guys at the end of this roster that are competitive. So I think you've got a wide receiver room that could be eight deep. And that's not even mentioning Trent Taylor. So I think it's very interesting. So, yeah, I think right now this is probably the best collection of wide receivers that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have put together.
Yeah, and I couldn't even ask, is this the best wide receiver group that Kyle Shanahan has had? Because that group in Atlanta was really good.
Way good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, any time you have Julio Jones in there, you're going to have an elite group. In Houston, he had Andre Johnson. So, I mean, he's had some good ones over the years, but this is just better than, you know, you go back to 2019 when he had Debo, and that was kind of it until they brought in Emmanuel Sanders. And so that was kind of slim pickings, but somehow their running game was just so strong and their defense was otherworldly that year. But that was just kind of an interesting thing. So let me ask you this. Are the 49ers better today than they were when they walked off the field in the Super Bowl? Now, I'm not counting like Dre Greenlaw got injured, Talanoa Hufanga is coming back from injury. Let's say they come back healthy. Is this team better than they were back in February?
I think it's razor close. I think they did a really good job of trying to keep this team pretty close to as good as that Super Bowl team, because I think they felt like they should have won it. I think where it gets better is you have players that are getting better. Brock Purdy's going to be better. Your offensive line could potentially be a little bit better because of continuity and playing together. You brought in Leonard Floyd on the outside, and he's probably going to be better than Chase Young. You brought in guys like Jordan Elliott that can stop the run. He's probably going to help a lot because Armstead was hurt. So I think they did a lot to help this football team stay where they're at. If they're going to be better or not, I don't think is known yet, because I think we have to see what we're going to get out of guys that they brought in like Malik Collins and Jordan Elliott as far as replacing the production you were getting from Eric Armstead when he was healthy. What you're going to get from a guy like Yetur Gross-Matos when he comes in and plays. But I think they have the makings of that. And I think they did upgrade at linebacker as long as Dre comes back at some point. I think Campbell is going to be better than Oren Burks. So they're subtle improvements, but they're improvements on paper. And you got to see what happens when you get there. So I do think there are spots they got better, but I'm overall in a wait-and-see approach, because I think you're really counting on some guys to step up and play the way you're thinking they're going to. And if they show it, then you potentially could be better.
Mr. Corey asks, who starts beside Hargrave, Elliott or Collins? That was another thing that Larry and Grant talked about on my way home. With Larry saying that he's heard from some people pretty close to the situation that they expect Jordan Elliott to win that position, while others really expect Malik Collins to win it. What do you think about those two spots, one spot, two players?
Yeah, I think both those guys are very talented, and why not open it up for competition? I mean, let these guys go out there and compete. You've got two different types of players. Jordan Elliott's going to play a lot better against the run. And so early down production from him could be important. If you want them to stop the run, that's going to be his avenue to get that starting job. With Malik Collins, it's built on pass rush, penetration, causing havoc in the backfield, which we know Chris Kocurek loves. My guess is that it will be Malik Collins, but I would not rule out the possibility of Jordan Elliott stepping in and taking that position. But I think the value, the way they are looking at this team, I think it goes Malik Collins and Hargrave starting, and then you bring in the second group of Kevin Givens and Jordan Elliott. And I think that's probably the groupings, the rotation that they go with. But I think they've got two good options there, and you haven't had these guys on your team. There's no real reason not to just let them go out there and compete and the best player play. I think Jordan Elliott and Malik Collins are both going to give the 49ers interior offensive linemen some problems in training camp.
Yeah, that's I like how you put that, and there were people in the chat agreeing that you know, with Elliott, he's going to be the run stopper, and then you know what happens after that. I definitely like Collins from a pass rush standpoint. Let's see, Kenny asking about Kalia Davis. I don't know. They just, to me, they, I don't know, man. He's been hurt so much, and I can't get a read on if they're high on him or not.
I think what's interesting about Kalia Davis, I think they were extremely high on him when they drafted him, but it's a guy that's transitioning from playing linebacker to defensive tackle. And he didn't get a lot of snaps in his college career with his hand in the ground. So he had to develop to playing defensive tackle. Then he had to develop into playing defensive tackle for Chris Kocurek. So it was going to be an adjustment period. He missed most of his rookie season because of the injury that kept him on the PUP list and never brought him in. He had like 3 weeks of practice. Last year was his first time, and then he dealt with more injuries. So I think this is a year where he's going to have to show who he is. They thought originally he was going to be DJ Jones. I don't see that right now. I think right now he's on the outside looking in to make this roster. He's going to have to go out there and prove it. But I think when it comes to a guy with an elite first step like that, you never count them out, because if he puts it together, he's got a chance. He had one game during this season he played, and he played pretty well in about 18 snaps. The next game, it wasn't as good. So we'll see who Kalia Davis actually is. But I think he's on the outside looking in right now on this defensive line, especially with all the talent they got at edge rusher now.
So my last question is, Matt Maiocco recently interviewed Alden Smith, talked about how because Alden had spent the last several months leading up to this in prison for, I think, maybe driving under the influence or something like that. And so we all know what Alden has been through with alcoholism. And so sounds like he's doing great right now, and he's come through this. And so it was really interesting because Matt played a clip where Joe Staley was interviewing Trent Williams. And Joe asked Trent, who's the toughest guy you've ever had to block? And Trent said something like, I bet you know who I'm going to say. And Joe said, I think I do. And so they like 1, 2, 3 answered, and both said Alden Smith. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. And I wanted to ask you the question, if Alden Smith was healthy, are you taking him or are you taking Nick Bosa? Which one do you have? Because remember, Alden Smith in his second season, 19 and a half sacks, to follow double digit sacks as a rookie when he wasn't even starting. So that guy was on a Hall of Fame course. Now, his issues with alcoholism definitely sidelined that. But if he's healthy and he's got his head on straight, who are you taking, Alden or Nick Bosa?
If you're just looking at pure athleticism, pure talent, it's Alden Smith. I mean, the extreme arm length, the ability to get to the passer, but also to cover in space the way he was using a 3-4 defense. He was definitely a premier pass rusher coming off the edge. Very impressive. I think there are lots of things you look at with Nick Bosa. I think Nick Bosa had better technique or has better technique than Alden Smith as far as hand fighting, wrist control, the way that he's able to do the things that he does. But he's also doing it because of a great motor and because he works hard. He doesn't have the natural talent that Alden Smith has. That talent was unbelievable. And so it's an interesting thing. I mean, these guys are razor close. I would say probably Alden Smith because of the ability that he showed week in and week out. I think the problem is that you know what Nick Bosa is going to be for a long career. Was it sustainable for Alden Smith? But the general talent was definitely there. The guy was unbelievable. I will put an asterisk next to it because I think Justin Smith did a lot for Alden Smith's game. But I think that when you see Nick Bosa have a help as well, it helps him. So it's always the case. But yeah, these guys are razor thin close. They do it different ways. It's interesting where you get Alden Smith, who looks more Charles Haley-ish. And then when you get Nick Bosa, you're looking more of a technician, a guy that really handles himself. Even though he's shorter, he plays with great leverage. He's fantastic.
Yeah, I just thought that was an interesting question. It's hard. It's a hard one to answer because Alden was on a historic path. But I do agree. Nick Bosa's never had Justin Smith next to him. And if he had, good grief. I mean, that would be crazy. Just wanted to throw this up from Samuel. Prayer request for his ministry and 40 orphans that we take care for. We go through many challenges such as food, clothing, shelter, and clean water. Yes, man, thank you for that work that you're doing. Appreciate that and wish you all the best. Any final things that that we need to talk about before we take off here?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I wanted to bring up, because I know someone had asked about the 4 or 5 wide receiver sets, is it looks like it's a possibility because of the amount of talent the 49ers have added at wide receiver. But let's remember that George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey are likely not coming off the field very often, which means at worst, you're an 11 personnel with 3 wide receivers. Which 3 wide receivers? That's another question, and Kyle can play games with it. I just wonder how many times you're actually going to want to pull Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle off the field because of the matchup problems that they create and because of the type of defensive personnel go on the field when they're playing. But I think it's an interesting thing, and I would like to see some 4 and 5 wide receiver sets occasionally from Kyle Shanahan, a la Mike Holmgren when he took over the offense and decided with Joe Montana, we're going to go a lot more 5 wide receiver or 4 wide receivers than we've ever went before and spread people out. I think it could be an added element. I'm interested to see it, but I wonder how much we're going to see it because of McCaffrey and Kittle.
Yeah, because with McCaffrey, you have a running back and a receiver all in one, just like you do with Debo. So McCaffrey and Kittle are both mismatches, and Kyle loves his mismatches. Hey, thanks everybody for joining us today. Please take a minute to subscribe if you're not already doing so, and follow that link in the chat to go grab you some 49ers cutback merch. And would appreciate that, and the guy works hard for you, so he deserves that. So thanks so much for joining us. Everybody have a great rest of your week and enjoy what the news that comes out from minicamp. It's going to be a lot of fun, the rookie minicamp. We'll be back next week to talk more rookies and things going on with the 49ers. See ya.